Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. John's Lutheran Church in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. To learn more about St. John's, please visit our website at www.sjtosa.org. The sermon for Holy Thursday is based on Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. Here's Pastor Eric Schrader's sermon on A Feast of Blessings.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn our focus to God's Word. It's part of the Gospel reading for today that begins on page 7 in your service folder. A portion of that Gospel reading which you haven't heard before, so I'll read it at this time, starting at verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." This is God's word. In a recent survey, 84% of adults said that they wish they could share a meal with loved ones more than they already do. Again, 84% of adults wish they could share a meal with loved ones more than they do. Now, I don't think that statistic shocks any of us. In fact, there might be some people here that say, "Well, what's going on with that other 16%? Why wouldn't they want that too?" See, we know that sharing a meal is about more than just eating together. For a busy family, it can be reconnecting after a long, hectic day. It might be the only time they're in the same room together all day long. Or it might be catching up with an old friend that you haven't seen in a while and sharing laughs and stories and what's going on in each other's lives. Sharing a meal can be a special occasion like a first date or a wedding anniversary or a small birthday get-together. It could be something far bigger, a high school reunion or a wedding dinner. But no matter the occasion, sharing a meal is far more than just food. It's conversation and connection or reconnection that can make any meal one worth remembering. And I suppose we could say that, well, that in itself is enough for Jesus to talk the way he does here. But as we listen closely, we see there's far more to it than that. Jesus said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Jesus would have certainly welcomed any time to have a quiet meal with his disciples any day of any week, but this is no ordinary week, and it's no ordinary meal. It's the Passover, and that in itself makes it a special occasion. It was that once-a-year meal that they would celebrate, and for the Jewish people, it would be kind of like if we took our Christmas and 4th of July and combine them into one holiday, because they're celebrating salvation from God at the same time as they're thinking of the freedom of their people. And Jesus' day is certainly a freedom that they longed for again. But if they knew their history, and of course they did, they would think back to that time when the Passover meant blood of a spotless lamb painted on doorposts. that blood that saved them from death, from the angel of death visiting that house with vengeance and killing the firstborn in every home. Instead, with the blood, the angel would see that and would pass over that house. Of course, their Egyptian counterparts weren't so fortunate. They lost sons and they lost animals until together they said, "This is enough. These people need to go." And so God set his people free from slavery in Egypt, and he led them out and through the Red Sea. And yes, it took a while for that rebellious people, but eventually God fulfilled his word. God brought them into the land that was promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And along the way, God gave them a command. And he said, "Remember this night. Remember this night by observing this meal as one to remember." So, of course, Jesus loved to keep all of his Father's commands. We can't imagine Jesus missing any Passover meals, but again, this one in particular is special. Jesus knew that this was his last supper with them. At the same time as Jesus and his closest friends are gathering in an upper room, Jesus also knows that his enemies are gathering not far away, conspiring against him. And by this time, they're just waiting for that signal to strike. And when it comes, they'll be ready. And they'll unleash all their hate upon Jesus and their version of justice, which to us, of course, is injustice, and all the suffering they can pour upon him, up to and including death by crucifixion. And Jesus knows it's all within the next 24 hours. But not yet. These precious few hours Jesus gets to spend with them. And so what does he talk about? He knows that suffering is coming, but he's also able to look beyond the suffering. And he wants to point them to that place too. Jesus says, "For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." So there's more to it. On the one hand, this is the Last Supper that he would share with them. On the other hand, Jesus would join them for another feast in the future. It just wouldn't be in Jerusalem. It would be entirely dependent on the blood of a spotless lamb, but not another animal sacrifice. God would come with judgment on his enemies, but not just idol worshipers from one nation on earth. It would be judgment on all mankind. And this ultimate fulfillment of the Passover feast would take place nowhere else but in the banquet halls of heaven, that eternal promised land that awaits all of God's people who are able to make their exodus out of this fallen world. And Jesus longing for that feast of blessing to come is what moves him to go forward into suffering and through suffering, to go to the cross for his disciples and friends, but not just for them, also for his enemies, for you and for me and for all sinners of all time. Can't be understated. It's such a good thing that Jesus was willing to go there for us, because when it comes to us, far too often, we eagerly desire all the wrong kinds of things. See, just like our first parents, we all have our forbidden fruit that attracts our eyes and tempts us to go after it. Every single one of us has a sinful nature, and sometimes that sinful nature is just starving for the things that the world offers, things like status or things like keeping up with the latest styles. There's a part of us that hungers for popularity, power over, or popularity among our peers. Maybe your weakness is to desire worldly wealth or other worldly pleasures. Sometimes we want to escape the responsibilities that God has given us and the callings that God has given us. We want to abandon them completely. And the way it happens is God says, "This is an opportunity for you to serve me." And we say, "No thanks, I'm full. I've had enough of service. I've tried and it didn't work. I don't get any credit. I don't get any enjoyment out of it." And so in our impatience, we pass on the opportunities that God gives us to love and serve those that he has placed so near to us. So often we'd rather fill up on spiritual junk food than sample the menu that God has set before us. So the way that we're born, and if we were left to ourselves, we'd all be entirely content with a steady diet of sin, not realizing that it only leads to death. And Jesus' disciples weren't any different from we are. But for them and for us, Jesus lovingly longs to set before us the feast of blessings that lead to eternal life with him and with one another. And so he longs to welcome us to that heavenly banquet where we'll never hunger or thirst because he will perfectly provide for us. Doesn't that sound nice? Don't we long for a taste of that feast of blessings? Well, I have good news for you. And even though Jesus and his disciples couldn't possibly have understood at the time, Jesus had good news for his disciples that night. It sounded like this, and we're familiar. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." What Jesus does for his disciples that night isn't just a new twist on an old tradition. It's something that had never been seen before. On this night, for the very first time, Jesus gives them his true body and blood, the same body and blood that would be given and poured out the very next day. And this night, we could say Jesus makes a down payment on a new covenant, a new agreement that God had made with sinners, where forgiveness comes not through sacrifice or obedience, but freely through faith in his one and only Son. And in this room, Jesus institutes a meal that will be celebrated countless times throughout the world for 2,000 years and counting. In this meal, he gives them something to strengthen them for the dreadful experiences that they're going to face very quickly. But not only for that, for the very important work that he has set them aside for the rest of their lives. No wonder Jesus has been eagerly desiring to eat this meal with them before he suffers. Friends in Christ, my prayer for you is that you eagerly desire the Lord's Supper every time it's offered to you. It's a chance to enjoy Jesus' powerful presence in a way that we can see and smell and we can touch and we can taste as we hear Jesus' words proclaimed over bread and wine, and we receive Jesus' true body and blood. The same body and blood that were given and poured out for us on the cross, knowing that we are included in this new covenant. And that it's not through any sacrifice we make or any obedience that we can give, but it's freely and fully. God pours out his forgiveness on us simply through faith in Jesus. Not only that, but through doing this, through sharing in this meal, we're united in heart and mind. We celebrate the communion that we have, the confession that we share with one another in the truth of God's word. And it's not important for just right now. It's for days ahead too. Because our Lord tells us that if we go out and live for him, we will suffer in this world, but he wants to strengthen us with this holy food for whatever lies ahead. He wants us to encourage one another as we repeat this meal often, over and over again until he returns. He wants us to remember and think about those who are already enjoying the feast of blessings to come yet for us, and he wants to live our lives with a constant longing. Join that feast when our time on earth is through. Until we get there, keep hearing that invitation and keep coming back to the Lord's table regularly. Now, we have something in common with them. Like them, we shouldn't expect that we can perfectly understand exactly how this works. It's a miracle every single time, but we can trust him. And so we come to his table for this feast of blessing that he's prepared for us, and we hear his words. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we believe them. how eagerly Jesus desires for us to eat this meal with him. Here we find peace. Here we stand in the presence of God, and here we are surrounded by God's people. It's a feast of blessings and a foretaste of the feast to come. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information on the ministries of St. John's, please visit www.sjtosa.org or find us on Facebook by searching for St. John's Lutheran Wauwatosa. We pray that this sermon has been a light for your path, and we'd love to have you join us for worship whenever you're in the greater Milwaukee area. God bless your week.